Time for Where's Art with Annie Dugan. Annie Dugan following in the steps of Larry Weber and showing up to do her program even when she's on vacation. Good morning there, sunshine.
Good morning, Lisa. So, but I'm gonna hightail it back to Duluth because we do have a huge week, of course, as always.
Well, and I asked you, you mentioned a number of books that you were fascinated by last week, and I asked you, out of curiosity, have you had a chance to read any of those wonderful books, or are you so inundated with family that there's no chance to sit down and relax? And you said, surprisingly, you had found a little bit of time to read.
I had, and it's funny because I ended up reading a book that was completely different than all of the ones I mentioned, but still art-related. But it's fascinating. It's just called Color, and it's a natural history of where all of those different palette, where the palette comes from, and it travels across the world, across history and time. Some pretty crazy stories of where you get the blue in these beautiful Chartres cathedral windows, which actually they actually don't know. there's color making that has been lost, and it's really a fascinating to think about the tools of art making and how important those tools are. It's often something that we don't think about when we think about, you know, we usually put focus on the artist rather than the people who are crafting the tools for the artist to use. So I would recommend Color.
Okay, fantastic. So something that also just occurred to me that I want to ask you about, as long as we're kind of off our regular topic this morning, I've been enjoying, as have I think a lot of people, some of these fascinating videos that pop up on social media where you have the opportunity to watch a craftsman or an artist or an artisan work either making art or making a functional thing, and it's a finished product that you've maybe never seen before. Maybe it comes from a different country or a different culture, or it's just a fascinating way, these fascinating things about the way street artists work. I would imagine that the ability to share how these things are made opens up a whole new appreciation for art in some people.
Absolutely. I think, you know, one phrase that we use over and over at the Art Institute is that we're about process, not just product. And the fact of creating with our hands, I think that's even more so compelling in our digital world, where you see someone actually bringing forth this creation in really bizarre and interesting ways. Lisa shared with me a video, for example, of someone creating the Starry Night on the top of water. So really ways that we wouldn't think of creating these fascinating objects are really, it's important because I think we often lose touch with the fact that we are physical beings and we can create physical things, and that there's something really powerful. And, you know, the fact that this is disseminated through a digital, you know, it's sort of this double-edged sword of social media and technology has connected us in really interesting ways and exposed us. But then I think it also exposes the fact that making is just so important, and getting in touch with the fact that is a core human, and you know, it's the reason that we are who we are and have culture. It's because we have this compulsion to make things.
Whether it's an artist, I remember that there was a Japanese artist that makes these kinds of dolls, and I watched that video a while back, and apparently this is something that's been handed down and passed down. And whether it's an artist making something like that, or the artist that was making this incredible wall hanging with all of this sculpture in it, and it had cutouts to put you know, other little bits of art in it, to the street artists that you watch doing portraits, and these people are just working as fast as they can. There's another art incorporated into that in my mind, and it's the same art that you see anytime you watch anybody do anything that they're really good at. And it's almost like dance to watch someone's hands or body move, because there's no wasted movement. It's everything's very quick, very assured, and it's almost like dance.
Right. Well, there is a certain, you know, people talk about when you find the thing that you're passionate about, that it's almost, it becomes almost trance-like. And you, I mean, I think that that's true for art forms, you know, musicians, you know, just become in that, they inhabit that space of the art that they're creating. And certainly watching an artist create, you can see that. And usually art is a very, visual arts usually is a very solitary process in the process itself, not in the public aspect, but in the process. So I think what these videos do is they shine a light on this very, the trance-like state of making visual art.
The one additional thing that the videos do, I think, is, of course, when you watch anybody do anything, they're really good at it, that they're really good at. Part of it is they make it look easy, and of course it isn't. And yet it does make you, the very sense of that ease makes you want to give it a try yourself, and it makes you want to kind of give it a whirl. Now, there are all of these new opportunities where, you know, people will go out for an evening and they'll make a painting. You know, they'll go out as a group and they'll go out in a party and they'll maybe make a painting, or they'll do this or that. This is a good thing. We've talked about this a lot. This is a good thing, right? Getting people excited about giving it a try again.
Exactly. I think any time you can do something with your hands, you can just make a mark. There is. Like I said, mark-making is a compulsion for a lot of people, and I think it's something that we lose touch with as we get older. The you know, doodling, drawing is something that is relegated to our grade school life, and that should not be. We should all enjoy and find mark-making and creating and touching and having a physical connection with the world. It rewires your brain in a new way. It makes you connect with the world and see the world differently when you're trying to transfer the outside onto a page. I mean, there's all these things that are, you know, scientifically proven, but I think it's just the joy itself is something that we need to connect with when we think of visual art making.
We somehow have to get that judgy piece out of there, whether it's, and it's usually just us. It's, we're either judging our own work, or we're saying other people are going to judge this.
Correct. And other people are going to judge that it's not a somehow acceptable way to spend time, which certainly is not. A lovely way to spend time.
Yeah. So we will talk about all the art that's coming up when we talk again next week. We'll also talk, I hope, have the opportunity to talk about some of the art-making opportunities that are available to us here in the Twin Ports, because there are a bunch of them, and that is a good thing. We should spend the summer rewiring our brains, Annie.
Absolutely.
All right. Great. Fantastic. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Annie Dugan this morning, our guest host for Where's Art with Annie Dugan, right here on 103.3 KUMD, a regular feature of every Monday.